We begin the current daf Maseches Menachos daf Lamed Alf. We begin on the bottom of Lamed Beis, on the bottom line, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we had a teaching for Reb Chanina that he said the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri, and whatever he's quoted the halacha is like him. So the Gemara said, where was that initial halacha that Reb Chanina was talking about that he said the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri? Because we had actually had a discussion that the Gemara had in regard to the topic of our parak, in regards to our previous Mishnah, that it was halacha that was said in the name of Shimon Shazuri. And the Gemara said, if it was in regards to that context that he said it, then why wasn't he mentioned that Amarok discussion that our Gemara had mentioned in Lama Mabez regarding what is the halacha in that brisa, that he also should have had his idea, his opinion mentioned over there. And the fact that it wasn't mentioned over there, that's not where he had said it. And so the Gemara had attempted many different approaches where it said, well, but there are Amiram that would said, what was the halacha regarding that halacha? Reb Chanina was on the Meirah, should have also been said in that context. Obviously, it's only somewhere where we didn't have any Amiruk discussion if that was the halacha, like Reb Shimon Shazuri or not. So there the Gemara concluded in the bottom of the previous daf, an interpretation of Rav Papa that it's going on the halacha regarding the carriage, or like Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it's going on the discussion of the wine. That's why our Gemara continues and explains what are those two different Mishnaic texts that Rav Shimon Shazuri says halacha, that no Amaram say what the halacha is, and hence that's where Rav Chanina could have been saying his halacha, that halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri over there, and so too in all other places. As the Gemara explains, Rav Papa Amar, he says, as a continuing type of Laman Alf and Alf, Ashedim, regarding the halacha of the carriage. That's not like in the Mishnah Maseches Kelim, where the Mishnah there is discussing regarding different containers, like that in the shape of a beehive, either made out of straw, out of reeds, or this big tub they would have on the Alexandrian ships, which was a big pit, or some type of different containers where if it contains at least 40 sa' in liquid, which is two kor in regards to solids, so then it loses its halacha of a movable item of a vessel because it's very large. And therefore it's not going to be mekabel tum. It's only something which is like a sack, like a sackle, which is metaltum, moli v'reken, which is like a kli. Then that's something that's mekabel tum. But if it's something that's so big, then it's already not considered a vessel anymore and it does not contract tum. On that context, says the Mishnah Maseches Kelim Hashid, regarding a carriage, b'shami oimrim nimdedes mibifnim. It's measured from the inside. In other words, if the airspace in the carriage has that it could contain two kur of solids, then it's so large, then it's not like a vessel anymore, then it's going to be tahar. Basil says, however, that we measure even the thickness of the walls of the carriage, where we view it as if it was hollow. And then if it was hollow, would it be able to contain and supplement to the two kor of yavish? Then it's already considered too big to be mekabel tuma. Now, they both, however, agree. Shein oive haraglayim. However, the thickness of the feet, the legs, which they're thicker than the walls of the carriage, that neither that, or va'oive halavizvazin, or the thickness of the lip, which is around the top of the carriage, they're not nimded, they're not measured together. They're, even Beis Hillel would agree, that's not going to be considered as if it was hollow to say that would that fill in the area of two kor of dry solids. Now Rabbi Yisim, he disagrees. He says, no, Maidim, they agree, she'ayvi haraglayim, va'ayvi halaviziv, is nimded. That actually the thickness of the legs and the thickness of the lip of the carriage are actually measured regarding the measurement of it would contain for the entirety and the totality of the space of the carriage of two kor, thus being too big to be makabel tuma like a kli. But it would be nehen. However, that air space that's between the legs on the bottom, that ain't nimded, that's not going to be measured together with the measurement of two kor. Because we don't say we view as if the bottom goes down to the bottom between the legs of the carriage as if that's closed off and as if it's part of the carriage to be measured with the shear of two kor. And that's what we want to say like and mention that Mishnah. He says, if the legs were a tefach, a hand's breadth above the ground, so then it's considered a distinct area. So then then that's not, we're not going to measure the area between it. But if not, then it's very small. We view it as if it's closed, as if it's like the legs themselves. And therefore, even the area between them is going to be measured. Now, it's in regards to that halacha, says Rav Papa, that's where Rav Chanina was saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Now, the second interpretation we said in the previous daf, Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, he says a yain. Regards to Rav Shimon Shazuri's halacha regarding wine. That's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Tayris. He says, Shemen tchila le'olam. Oil is always considered a tchila, a first level tumma. Meaning, whether if it became tummy from an avatama or a rishon or even a sheni, the oil is going to be considered a rishon l'tumma. Like the Gemara says in Pesachim Dav Yudalma Beis, whatever invalidates truma, because even the sheni could invalidate truma, because truma could become a shlishi, a third level tumma. Anything that will be metame truma, whether that be an av rishon or sheni, is metame mashkin beverages to become a tchil, to become a rishon l'tumma. And oil is a mashkin, it's a beverage. So oil is always going to be a rishon. The sages say, avadavash, same thing applies to honey, is also considered a liquid. He says, afayayin, also wine. On that, the Gemara asks, what, also wine? Mechlal the Tanakama sabayayin loy, but what? The Tanakama was saying only oil and not wine? Is there anyone that says that wine's not a beverage? Of course, wine's a beverage, and if it's a beverage, if it's a mashka, then be sure it should become a rishon l'tumah. So on that says the Gemara, no, emasei, Reb Shimon Shazuri or Miyayin. He says, no, only wine is going to become a rishon, not oil and not honey, because they're not considered mashkin. And it's on this halacha of Reb Shimon Shazuri that Reb Chanina was saying halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri, that what's considered a mashke to be a rishon l'tumah is only wine and not honey and not oil. Now, continue on this halacha of Reb Chanina from the previous staff, that he said that halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri everywhere, not just these two places, whichever one it was, like these interpretations that we said, that that's where he said it's like him, but everywhere. Related to that, the Gemara says, Tanya Lunda Brais, Amr Reb Shimon Shazuri, he says, Pamachas nisarvli tavel. One time it happened to me that I had questionable untithed produce, which is what's called demai, which is we suspect that the produce we bought from Nama Oritz has not been tithed. And that fell into bechulin, fell into regular unconsecrated produce, which had already had the tithe taken off of it. Now the problem with it is that now inside over here somewhere is mixed in this questionable tavel, this demai. Now you can't now go take off part of this mixture to take off maestras for the demai that's mixed in over here, because in there is mixed in chulin. And although demai is not biblically obligated in maeser, but in spite of that, since it's rabbinically obligated to take off maeser, if one is going to take out from in there chulin ones, which are exempt from maeser, because they already were tithed, is going to be taking tithe and something that's putter on the tevel, which is obligated, albeit rabbinically. So, ubasi b'shalti es Reb Tavern. So I came in as Reb Tavern, what should I do? And they told me, Leich kach l'chom min ashuk. Right, from here, in this own mixture, what's called minei ubei, is nothing to do about it. But what you should do is, go buy from the marketplace demai from an ama aretz, the isra lov, and take tithe from that demai on the demai that's mixed into this chulin, which that one that you're buying is also biblically exempt, for the demai that's in here, which is also biblically exempt, and they're both rabbinically obligated. So that would be a great way of taking meister from that one, which you'll take off because they're both the same type of thing, which will be the meister for the demai that's mixed into the mixture. Now, the Gemara explains the reason for this halacha is as follows. 2 points. First of all, because kesaver da'iraisa beruba batel, he held that biblically, actually, the demai is batel beruba. Biblically, it's nullified in the majority. The majority is chulin, and there's a minority of demai that falls in. So biblically, it's really nullified. Second of all, most of the ignoramuses that we're buying from, they really do take off tithes. And hence, although that there is a halacha of taking off meiser, that's only rabbinically. So therefore comes out as follows. Because of the second idea, when this guy goes to the marketplace to buy new demai, that really is biblically exempt, because we assume that most of them really took off meiser. So when he's taking off meiser from that one that he bought in the marketplace, that's potter biblically, alha potter, on something that's also biblically potter, because of the first idea that we mentioned, because really, it's biblically nullified when they're mixed in. So since they're the same type of thing, you'll be tarmin al pater ala pater, not like if you took from the mixture itself, but you might take from pater ala chiv. Here you're taking from something that's biblically exempt onto something that's also biblically exempt. But on that, as the Gemara, okay, that's an option, and that's what Reb Tarfin told him. But Balaimele, why didn't he tell him a different option? Leich kach menoi v'kachavim. Go purchase produce from a non-Jew who also his produce is biblically exempt but rabbinically obligated, because it's not biblically obligated, because his produce is not the produce of a Jew. So that says the Gemara, no, kesaver in kinyan lo'ebe kachavim be'eretz Yisrael, lafki miyad maisa. The reason why Reb Tarfon didn't tell me that option is because he held that actually a non-Jew does not have ownership rights in the land of Eretz Yisrael to exclude it from the biblical obligation of maisa. So it's not. There's nothing unique about the fact that it's owned by a non-Jew, because v'havalei menachiv, it's still going to be biblically obligated tithes, because we know a non-Jew is for sure not taking off tithes. And therefore, if he would buy from the non-Jew, he'd be taking off tithes from something that's biblically obligated, ala pater, onto this mixture, which is biblically not obligated, because like we said, because really biblically it was already bought by rights. So that's one version of the discussion. Nekudam, and those say the opposite. Amalei, that Reb Tarfon said to him, okay, lech kach menei v'kachavim, you're right, nothing to do with this mixture, go buy from a non-Jew, which is biblically exempt, and only rabbinically obligated, and you'll use it for this produce, which is also only rabbinically obligated, but biblically exempt, because like we said, it's batal b'raiv. So as the Gemara explains, according to this version, that he held that there is an acquisition for a non-Jew, which thus, it's not biblically obligated land of Meisr anymore, because the non-Jew owns it, albeit it's rabbinically obligated, and therefore it's from something that's biblically exempt onto something that's also biblically exempt. And that is the Gemara, the flip side of the first version. Why? Why didn't he tell him to just buy demai from the marketplace, which is also biblically exempt, onto this mixture, which is also biblically exempt? Oh, and that says the Gemara, no, because Kesavar, he held, Ein roiv ame arts masen. According to the second version, he held that no, most of the amaratsim do not take maisa. Rather, actually, there's a legitimate doubt, 50-50, that you could say, maybe, the one that got mixed in to the his chulin produce, to Reb Shimon Shazuri's produce, maybe that one was maestro taken. And yet this one, that he's buying from the marketplace, did not have maestro taken. Or it could be the opposite. So because of that, we don't know. It might be minapat al-chi, it might be al-chi al-apat, and therefore it wasn't a good option to go ahead and buy from Amma Oretz in the marketplace. That's the version that Rashi says that he heard, which is the way we just explained it. But he says it's difficult. Because if that would be the case, so then when he buys from a non-Jew, that also shouldn't be such a good option, like the second version is saying, because maybe this Amma Oretz that originally sold him this Peiris that then fell into the Chulin did not take off Meiser. Then that's mixed into this mixture, he's going to be buying from the guy, from the non-Jew, it's going to be Mina Pater, according to the second version, alachiv, which is biblically obligated. So in that therefore says Rashi that this tevel was actually not tevel of demai. I mean, we had been explaining a little bit like the way Rashi was saying already over here, where originally we had said it, that the reason why that it was rabbinically was because it was actually demai. And demai, they got mixed in with the chulin. Okay, so that's why it's minapata alapata, because what he's buying is demai, which is biblically exempt. Into this demai that mixed in, which is also biblically exempt, because it's only demai. And that says Rashi, no. The case, and we had initially explained this like this really, which were these two points that the Gemara was saying, is that actually it was bona fide tevel. But once it gets mixed in with chulin, it's batel, because biblically it's a 2-to-1 ratio is mavatel. So biblically, even though it was bona fide tevel, it's going to be exempt. But the rabbis were stringent, and they said that no, tevel is going to be usur, even the mashu, even the minute amount. And therefore you have to go ahead and separate truma. But from it itself, we said you cannot, because the chulin was already totally exempt. Even there's not even any rabbinic obligation, because that chulin already had the trumas and maisers taken off of it. So therefore, when they tell them to go ahead in the first version, to go ahead and buy from the marketplace and take off maiser according to the cheshbon of the tevel that's inside of that, that's because he held that most of the amaratzim do take off maiser. So therefore, like we said, those are the two points. So therefore, it's exempt medai raisa and rabbinically obligated, just like this mixture, which is also, even though it was bona fide tevel dai raisa, but it was batel b'raiv, which makes it only rabbinically obligated, but dai raisa that it's pater. On that, the Gemara asked, well, why didn't he tell him to go buy from a non-Jew, which is also exempt medai raisa? That we said, because, you know, if you hold, there's a kin levi kachavim to mafkia, so then there's rabbinic obligation. So that said the Gemara, no, he held that ain't kin levi kachavim. Then there was the second version that was saying that held that no, that most amaratzim do not take maaser, and maybe this one that sold him did not take maaser, and therefore it's actually going to be biblically obligated, and therefore the tevel that's going to be mixed in is going to be biblically exempt, like we said, because it's going to be batel. That was the discussion, again, not like the way Rashi had heard it, that it was because of, that it was demai that was mixed in. Rather, it's because actually it was Tevel Deiraisa, but that was the 2 points where it makes it Min HaPater Ala Pater. And maybe there's no problem, like he had said, according to the version that he heard, when you buy from the non-Jew, maybe that's going to be Min HaPater Ala Chiv. No, it's not going to be Ala Chiv. There's never going to be the Deiraisa Dechiv because it's already going to be Batel B'Raiv, even if it's Tevel Deiraisa, for sure, if we're not sure, maybe the Amaratzim don't take of Maisa, it's not any worse than a Tevel Deiraisa, which anyway is going to be biblically exempt, because it's going to be Batel B'Raiv. And therefore, if you it's going to be Patim Midiraisa, and then what you're buying, whether it be like the version of the Demai from the Amma Aretz, if you hold the Reiv Amma Asrim, or like the version that you say you buy from the non-Jew, which is biblically exempt, if you hold that Yesh Kin Loiv Kechav and Meretz Yisrael Afikim Midiraisa, either one is going to be Minapater Al HaPater. So that was this halacha that Reb Shimon Azuri said over what Reb Tarfon had told him. Now, in regards to this halacha, says the Gemara, Sholach Le Reb Yemir Bashlem Yilirav Papa. Said Hadam Ravim Barchinama Ulam Rabchanina. Halacha Kreb Shimon Shazuri. This halacha that we mentioned in the previous stuff that we were discussing, which we wanted to figure out which was the initial place he had said it, like we said either, or like Rav Papa had said it, or like Rav Nachman Yitzchak said it, either on the carriage or on the wine. But that halacha that he said, that's like Rav Shimon Shazuri. And that he said, Veloyal, not only that, it'll come Makam Shushan Rav Shimon Shazuri, halacha Gemaisa, wherever he's quoted, halacha is like him. Is it even in this halacha that we just quoted, which is when the tevel, again, whether it means demai or like Rashi's understanding that it means the tevel, it gets mixed in the chulin, that even over there, that like the halacha is that you have to go ahead and either buy from a non-Jew or like the other version that buy from Amma Aretz and then take a maisa from there on the mixture? Amalayin, he says, yes, on that halacha too. Adam Ravashi says, Omali Mazutra. Mazutra told me that Kashi Barab Chanin Masur, was confounded by this. Regarding this question, because there's a pshita, obviously, there's a continued mitbeis. Mi kama b'mishnah seinu, did he say that halacha like Reb Shimon Shazuri only in our mishnayos and not in the braises? No, kamakam shashana kama, wherever he was taught, he said, of course it's going to be in that halacha too, which is a braises, there's no difference, and therefore he was wondering what was even the question to wonder if the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri even in that halacha too. Now, continuing with the discussion from our previous daf regarding the topic of our previous Mishnah regarding the halachas of Safris of Sefer Torah, Amrav Zeir, Amrav Chanan, Amrav says Kera Habo B'Shnei Shitin, a tear in the parchment in the Torah scroll that comes into two lines. Let's say from the top of the margin of the Sefer Torah tears, and the tear goes into the two lines of writing. So Yitva, you can still sew it up. But Bishal should be tore into three lines. Al Yitva, then you can't sew it up anymore. Rather, you have to remove that parchment and write a new one. Now, Omli Rabbi Zutel Ravashi says, Hacham Rabbi Yirmir Medift Mishmei Dirava. He qualified that he says, Hadam Rin Mishal Shayit for this, that we said that if it ripped into three lines, then you can't sew it up anymore. Le'omar Nele Ba'atik Tasa. That was only said by an old parchment, which is it's not as sightful to go ahead and sew it up. It's more it looks more repulsive if it gets torn. But if it's new, that's not a problem. Even if it ripped three lines, it's still okay. It's still seemly to go ahead and sew it up. Now, on that he clarified, now when we said old, we didn't mean literally old. Neither when we said new, it meant new literally. And rather, new was when, if it wasn't treated with gallnuts, this that we said that it was old, we meant if it's black, like an old one, because it's treated with gallnuts, that's what we meant with new and old. And that is, if it's treated with gallnuts and it's blackish, then that's like old, and therefore only two lines, if it's torn, it's okay, but three not. In contrast, if it wasn't treated, it looks like new, then even if it tears three, it's still okay, it still looks okay if one would sew up three lines of writing. Now, moreover, Vahanamili, when did we say that you could sew it up? It's begidin, only with sinews, which is the from the body part of the animal. But if it's just threads, then that's not okay to sew up the lines with that. Now, by Rav Yehuda Bar Abba, he says, Bein daf ladaf. If let's say it tore between the columns, up until opposite where the writing is, that had it been in where the writing is, it would have gone more than three lines. Or bein shita l'shita. If let's say it tore between the rows, my, what's the halacha? If let's say correlating, if it would be in the wording, it would have been in three lines. But here, where it wasn't, because it was either between the rows or between the columns, could we sew it up or not? So the Gemara take a let it stand. It's not clear. Amar Bzira, Amar Chanan, Amar Rav. He says mezuzah shiksa v'shtaim shtaim, a mezuzah that was written with very narrow lines, which is that every single line had only two words on it. So, and that says Rav, Ksher, it's going to be, it's valid. Now, Ibarlo, the following question. Let's say Shtayim, let's say there's two words on this row. Vishalish, and there's three words on this row. And then Ba'achas, then there's three words on the next row. Ma, what's the halacha? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Kolshkin, in that case, for sure it's going to be valid. Shasa Keshira, because it was made like the song of Az Yashir, where you have one row that's long, you have one row that's short, which is that the whole row is not filled up, which is, that's how the shir is made. If one looks in the Sefer Torah, it's not made with regular rows. Rather, it's made with gaps in between. So here also, where if a person has two, then three, then one, that's actually how the shira was similarly written. Now, however, on this halacha, Mesevi, they asked him the following brisa. The brisa says, Asa Kashira, if the other writings were made like the way the writing of a song in the Sefer Torah is written, Ayashira Kamaisa, or they made the writing of the song of Az Yashir the way other words in the Torah are written, which is what's called brick on top of brick, which is one on top of the other, not with gaps as the Shira is supposed to be, Psula is actually going to be invalid. So how can you say it's Kashira to make it like the Shira? We see that other writings are not allowed to be like the Shira. Says the Gemara, Kitanya, when did we learn that brisa? It's going to be possible as B'Sefer Torah. But by Mezuzah, it is Kashira if it's made like the Shira. It menami, so we learned Amr Abba B'Chonam Rabbi Yechanan. Barmelon, some say it's Amr Abba Acha B'Chonam Rabbi Yechanan. Mezuzah Shasa, Shtayim, V'Shalash V'Achas, like we said before, if it's made two, a line with two words, a line with three words, and a line with one word, which is like the Shira, then Kashira, it's going to be Kashira. Obavad, but as long as it's not made similarly, but not like this, as long as it's not made Shalayasena Kekuva, it's not made like a type of a canopy, like a type of a tent, like a teepee, which is made more like a pyramid, wider on the bottom, then it gets narrower as it goes to the top, which would be actually one, then two, then three, as the Rashis have the picture, three lines on the bottom, two lines on the top, and then one on the top. Ubavach leisani kizan venosa, as long as it's not made like a tail, which is three lines, then the next line, two words, then the next line, one word, like the Rashi brings down the picture, as long as it's not made like either one of those, then it's going to be kosher if you make it like the shir, but to do one word, the next line, two words, the next line, three words, or the opposite, three words, the next line, two, then the next line, one word, that would be invalid. Now, additionally, Omer of Chizda, regarding the halacha of the mezuzah, says, Al ha'aretz, the words Al ha'aretz, which are the last words in the mezuzah, b'shita achreina, are on the last line. In other words, the only words on the last line are these two words. Igada ami b'saif shita, some say that these two words are at the end of the row. So one would look at a mezuzah, you would see two regular rows, and the bottom would be just these two words at the end of the row. Vikadami b'tchil shita, those who say that no, that these two words would actually be in the beginning of the row. So you would have regular rows, and the bottom one would have only two words in the beginning on the right side. So the Gemara explains. Ma dama b'saif shita, the one who says that it should be at the end of the line, is so that the words shemayim, which is from the previous sentence, should be on top of the words al ha'aretz, meaning that kimya shemayim al ha'aretz, that's the last sentence, that the word shemayim should be on top of the words al ha'aretz, which would sound like the pasuk in Tehillim. Kegevoya shemayim al ha'aretz, like the height of the heaven on the earth, so too, that is how long a person should live his life. Now, but the one who says that the words al ha'aretz should be in the beginning of the line, because the last words were shemayim, and the next line starts in the beginning al ha'aretz, that, so to speak, means to say that just like you have this distance of heaven from earth, so too, that's what it means over here, where you're having the word Shemayim on one end of the line and Al-Aretz on the other end. Just like how far heaven is from earth, so too, that's how long a person should live. Now, Amr B'chelboy, continuing on these halachas, he says, Chazina le'l Ravuna, I saw Ravuna, the karach le'me'echad klapishma, that he would roll from the word Echad towards the word Shema, meaning after that he had written, which in the parasha of the mezuzah it says the parasha of Shema, so he would roll from the left side towards the right. So when he would leave by the last word is Echad, the Dallas, so he would start from that going rolling towards the word Shema, because the beginning of the row is Shema Yisrael, and the end is Hashem Echad, so he would start to roll from the word Echad and go all the way till Shema. And additionally, the Isa Parashiyah says, Sistumais, he made the parashiyahs in the mezuzah, which is Shema Mohi B'Shemayi, he made them closed, which there's two types of parashiyahs, there's open and closed, and there's different discussion to be shown exactly what that's referring to, but he would make it closed, that it was considered contained, and not open, that's how he made the parashiyahs in the mezuzah.